You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
It's time for The Real Economy with Kirby Lekranji, co-founder of Rexalom Invest. Good evening, Kirby. I hope you're keeping well.
Yeah, very well. Thank you. And I hope the same on your side, Mike. A little cold in Johannesburg, but all fine.
A little chilly, working harder than I've ever worked. I think that seems to be the common refrain whenever you sit down and have a Zoom conversation with anyone. But what we are talking about tonight is a record-breaking quarter that we've seen globally when it comes to government spending and stimulus, certainly. Just take us through the numbers here. How much extra money has been created by global central banks in the last quarter?
Well, I mean, Mark, if you have a look at it across different geographies and different countries, I mean, the United States created, let's call it a rough $2.5 million U.S. dollars that has either gone into the bond markets, into the commercial paper markets, it's propping up money markets, an unlimited repo offering, including quantitative easing. And if you add all of those, you probably can add probably an extra $500 billion to that argument, to that total package, which probably gets us to about $3 trillion U.S. dollars. That means the debt-to-GDP number in the U.S. At the end of 2019 was running over 100% debt-to-GDP, and that number will now just continue to escalate and escalate. If you look at the U.K., you'll see that they increased their spending during this crisis by about £2 billion. Again, the same thing through a quantitative easing type program. Debt to GDP, they're running at 86%. And then the US, actually the EU, including some of the announcements this week, would have taken their spending up by about 1.35 trillion euros. And their debt to GDP also runs at 80% at the moment and would probably increase over that. The interesting thing is that if you look at a place like China, China might have propped up their banking system, that might have propped up their liquidity reserve, but it was nothing near, if you just look at it from a graph perspective, you can see that that their total reserves haven't really increased to the degree that you've seen in the Western world, especially in the United States and in Europe and the UK.
And I think what we've seen as well is this monetization of so much debt has also meant and ushered in an era of very low interest rates with which to fund rapidly growing fiscal deficits and rising debt to GDP ratios around the world. And it's also now spilled over into equity markets with capital raisings breaking all sorts of records too.
Absolutely. I mean, the reality of this is that you were sitting in a crisis in March, and the central banks were on the front foot creating a massive amount of liquidity. That liquidity has found its way into the market, even though the economic scenarios continue to dwindle and continue to look worse and worse. What they're obviously hoping for is that the economies at some point will start turning it around, The reemergence of, or I should rather say, just the escalation of the COVID crisis in America doesn't bode well for something like this, because it puts the recovery further out, which means that central banks will continue to have to print more money in order just to stem the bleeding in markets, and then hopefully just to create some form of stability. The problem that one has with this is that this is a multi-pronged approach. On the one side, you have rates that have dropped, as you've just pointed out, to a very low level. Printing money is the second prong to that. And then the third prong, which I think we'll start seeing at some point, is the dollar starts then having to reduce the value of the dollar in order to make it cheaper to own a currency unit such as the United States dollar. You can already see, if you look at the 10-year U.S. bond, you can see how yields are trying to push lower and lower and lower in order to join their 1-year, 2-year, and 5-year brethren very close to the 0% line. You can see that already starting to happen. And then all of this obviously creates massive amount of uncertainty for markets. And if the gap between the actual economic output in these economies and what the market is reflecting, if those two don't close in the near term, well, then you're either creating the next big bubble in equities, or alternatively, you're going to start having a correction on your hands again.
I think if we look at how it spilled over into equity markets and capital raisings in particular. The issue of relevance to shareholders, and I think the banks underwriting the various issues as well, is whether this extra capital intended to be raised can indeed pay for itself over the medium term. And that, in other words, means you've got to take an issue on whether or not we're going to see a potential second round shock 2 or 3 years down the line as a result of all of this.
So at the moment, there's crisis management at play. Companies are going out and borrowing as much money as they possibly can. You'll see that in the year this gets made to May, this is now about a month old again, already the data, you'll see that US companies have borrowed almost as much as a year's worth of cash usually would have taken them in a normal cycle. So that means borrowings are at an elevated level. How do they borrow? Well, it's not necessarily just from a bank, but it could also potentially be from the bond market. And this is where the Federal Reserve is potentially now, as of the last couple of weeks, step into the breach and buy corporate debt, something that is not something that they would just ordinarily want to do. That capital, as you rightly said, goes and lies inside the company, and at the moment, it's literally just trying to either just pay their way through this crisis rather than expanding the economy. And obviously the hope here is that at some point that the economy will start churning again, and then you start seeing some form of increase as far as turnover is concerned in these companies, which then allows for debt to be repaid. If that doesn't happen, then companies will start looking at shareholders and asking shareholders to put more capital into companies. And I'd be quite interested to see how many shareholders would actually be keen to do something like that.
Now, how should shareholders be thinking about approaching rights issues at this time? Is it all just about avoiding dilution? What are the other considerations before choosing whether or not to follow your rights?
So I think, firstly, if you are a shareholder already, it makes the decision slightly more difficult because if you don't follow your rights, you literally become diluted. What I'm meaning is that the number of shares in the pool or that the company has issued is increasing, but that the earnings that the company is producing isn't necessarily commensurately increasing at the same rate. So that means you're being diluted if you don't take up your extra shares and you pay for those. That's if you are a shareholder already. Companies that literally or that are going through the rights issue process at the moment are not doing it from an expansion perspective. So they're not raising money in order to buy potentially other companies or to try and grow their book. They are literally interested in surviving. They're paying back debt, for instance. That's a clear strategy at this stage. They're trying to just make sure there's enough cash on the balance sheet for them to survive the crisis. And look, let's face it, companies that do survive the crisis that we're going through are going to be companies that have been run well and have good management and have been healthy. Unlike companies that are not in such great financial state and which rely very heavily on central banks potentially trying to bail them out, hoping for a strategy such as that. So I think rights issues at this stage isn't about expansion, it's about survival. And if you are a shareholder already and you're facing you're facing something like that, then you should be weighing up. You should be looking at what it means for you if you get diluted, and if that is something that fits into your overall investment plan. If it doesn't, then it's something that you should be taking heed of, and you should then look at potentially following your rights if that fits into your overall strategy.
The Real Economy with Kirby Lekhranji, co-founder of Rexlom Invest, with some excellent advice for shareholders faced with a deluge of capital raisings at the moment.